keeps you updated with summaries of the best business books published worldwide. Books you absolutely need to know in a convenient, smart format.
People act based on the ideas they hold to be true. Words are meaningless until people imbue them with faith. Imagine how differently you would behave if you sincerely believed the words, "You have only 2 weeks to live," or "You've just won a lottery prize of $100 million. People hold their religious beliefs so deeply that these ideas shape how they live.
In modern culture, it is regarded as impolite to judge someone else's religious faith and practices. Yet, tolerant thinking amounts to blindness, which may be today's most dangerously provocative source of violence. The world would be better and more peaceful without religious faith, which has given us Palestinian suicide bombers, the ethnic cleansing of the Balkans, the horrors of the Kashmir, and the shock of 9/11.
Society applies two mythic concepts to religion. The first is that some people derive positive benefits from religion, such as close personal ties and spirituality. The second is that some of the worst tragedies wrought in the name of religion are driven by human beings' base nature, not by faith's high standards. In fact, faith is the cure for violence and hatred, not the cause. But how can people simultaneously believe in tolerating other faiths and in the idea that only their co-religionists merit eternal salvation?
Spirituality and religion are very different. Spirituality is rational. It does not demand faith in things human beings cannot see, prove, or disprove. Such faith stands in the way of truth and blocks inquiry and knowledge. In fact, many beliefs that society tolerates border on lunacy. How could anyone in his right mind believe that a glass of wine over which someone mumbles a few magic words actually becomes Christ's blood? Is this any less rational than believing that the voice of God speaks to you from your toaster? How can society demand that people speak tactfully about such insanity, especially when those who believe in it have access to nuclear weapons?
Scientists can defend what they claim, but religious leaders cannot. This is ironic because no one seems more convinced of truth than the deeply faithful. In the name of true faith, Christian believers have tortured and killed for hundreds of years. After the destruction of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD, anti-Semitism became a cornerstone of Christianity. Just a little more than two centuries later, Rome declared Christianity its state religion, and anti-Semitism pervaded a previously tolerant empire. When Nazism evolved in the 20th century, it arose on a foundation of Christian anti-Semitism. Although the Nazis also targeted Catholicism, the Catholic Church did not excommunicate one single German Catholic in connection with the Nazi atrocities.
The history of Christianity is principally a story of mankind's misery and ignorance rather than of its requited love of God. Christian faith is still a force for regression in the world. Because of Christian opposition, condoms are not readily available in developing countries, and the U.S. does not fund stem cell research. Only those who take a faith-based approach to science could accept the notion that a single fertilized egg has all the rights of an adult human being.
The Islamic world is backward, not in spite of, but because of, its faith in Islam. Muslim extremists are extreme only because their faith is extreme. They take every word of the Quran literally. People who facilely declare that true Islam is a religion of peace cannot have read the Quran very carefully. It is full of passages exhorting the faithful to war, to violence, to intolerance, and to literalism. Granted, Islam has contributed some good things to the world. Scholars in Islamic countries invented algebra, transmitted the Greek philosophical legacy, and laid the foundations of science. However, this is all incidental. Just because religious people have done worthy things does not mean that their faith has anything to do with their achievements.
Almost every member of the U.S. government seems compelled to make a display of religious faith. Often, the defenders claim that religion is the foundation of the United States ethical system. Scant evidence supports this claim. In fact, our ethical notions may be rooted in our genes. Does it really take an ethical analysis to save someone who is drowning? Humanity invented God only because mankind could not otherwise account for the genetic imperative of preserving the species. Most of the time, the idea of God is simply a convenient justification for things that seem impossible to justify. Many monstrosities and horrors exist precisely because people believe in God, because their belief sets them apart from each other. Those who believe in Krishna do not believe in Allah, and those who believe in Jesus can accept neither.
Faith is a dangerous superstition, based on the idea that God gave mankind holy books that are worth fighting over. Such books give harsh advice and mislead people. Since mankind can neither prove nor disprove religious beliefs, and since the most powerful religious beliefs defy the plain workings of nature, humanity should dispense with religion. People do not need religion to lead good lives. In fact, selfishness would be a more reliable and trustworthy guide to a fulfilled life. It may seem contradictory to suggest that one should love out of pure selfishness, but it is not. Higher states of mind are pleasant, while hatred and envy are not. Rationally, one should be ethical simply because it feels better than being unethical. Religion, in an age of nuclear weapons and bioterrorism, is too great a risk factor for humanity to tolerate. Religion throws a nasty wrench into a human machine well suited to achieve the good life unaided by any deity.
In his hotly controversial book, The End of Faith, published by W.W. Norton, philosopher and neuroscientist Sam Harris faults religion for being illogical, for inciting societies to violence, and for not reconciling faith and reason. Harris provokes readers to confront their own philosophies as he asks an ancient question: why does a good God permit evil? Harris's anti-religious discourse promotes reason as a panacea and asserts that spiritual living does not require religious practice. Unfortunately, however, Harris follows the Pied Piper of rationalism off the cliff by articulating a dispiriting, dangerous message against tolerating religious tolerance itself. If you want to provoke some spirited conversations or reconsider venerable philosophical issues in the light of difficult modern times, Get Abstract believes this may intrigue you. Readers who share Harris's fury about religion's influence will find their opinions vigorously supported, while those who believe that religion is a force for good will find that reading this book is an opportunity to exercise the patience of a saint.
Thank you for listening to Get Abstract Book Summaries. To learn more about this topic, simply enter the keywords "religious concepts" on getabstract.com.